The Best in Class podcast takes you around the NFL's week four games with an eye on rookies. All those guys in the draft, what are they doing? And young players as well. Sean Sullivan, Joe Bucks fan draft guru, is the host, presented by Bill Curry Ford, and of course is a healthy side of the Buccaneers to kick it off. Here's Sean.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Best in Class, coming to you live from Bill Curry Ford Studios. I am Sean Sullivan, and I'm your host for the next 30 minutes of amazing NFL talk. But first, let's talk about Bill Curry Ford. It's a family-owned store for 65 years. This is our 65th birthday, and because of that, if you visit us at BillCurryFord.com, you will see the most amazing specials. Right now, brand new Bronco Sports are leasing for $3.99 a month. F-150s, brand new, under $500 a month on a lease. Escapes, $389, amazing lease rates right now. Even Mustangs, under $400 a month. Make sure that you understand, I will be able to have my team explain to you this new $10,000 of interest written off for a single purchase for a non-commercial vehicle that the government just came out with to help end-of-year tax relief. So there is a percentage of our population that will be able to save interest, write off their interest, and $10,000 off of their purchase on their federal income tax. And we have the answers for you at Bill Curry Ford. Please visit us at Bill Curry Ford Tampa and .com. We have .net. We have all the dots. We have all the social media stuff. You guys know where to go. I'm not telling you anything. It's not hard to find us. Just throw a rock. Somebody will know Bill Curry Ford. We have everything on there for you. We have a great friendly staff. You can go on there and do your mobile and pick up and delivery. Schedule it free of charge. You guys are going to be blown away by our service. We have spent a lot of time training on good customer service. We want it to be great customer service. Right now, we're in contention for the President's Award, which is an annual award given to the top dealerships who exemplify not only sales and service, but also customer retention and customer service. So very, very humbled by that. And I'm really excited about possibly winning it and putting it in our showroom, because that would be a lot of fun. All right, let's get into some Bucks talk. All right, so this is some great stuff going on. I understand that we played the Eagles. I understand we lost the game 31-25. We were down in the game early. We showed great perseverance. In the second half, we didn't give up a yard of passing in the second half. We shut the Eagles completely down, and we almost came back and won the game. Without a tipped ball at the end, you know, that Baker Mayfield tip ball that was going to Chris Godwin in the corner of the end zone, I've watched it several times. I believe that if it wasn't tipped, there's a possibility that sneaks into the right back end corner of the end zone for a touchdown with Godwin, depending on if he can get his feet down. That was not a bad throw. Baker Mayfield finished 22-40 for 289 and two TDs. He was just spectacular. I really feel like because he plays for us every single game, no matter what our injuries are, we have a chance to win the game. The most exciting thing as a Buccaneers fan, if you think about it, is we didn't have our full complement of people. And the Eagles had basically their Super Bowl roster. And we really put it to them. I really feel like there was an opportunity for us to get out of there with a win. And the injuries continue to mount. We know we lost Greg Gaines in this game. Bucky Irving's in a walking boot for this week. Jamal Dean is down. Morrison, our draft pick, is down. They're not playing this week. Michael Jordan still not playing, who was our backup to our backup on the guard situation. So it really hasn't been terrific without Evans. Chris Godwin looked rusty. I think that's probably the best word for it. Is in that first half, our receivers were dropping balls, their receivers were catching balls. That's pretty much it. Godwin dropped a third down pass for 25 yards, dropped it right in his hands. He drops it. Even Amika, who's going to be the offensive rookie of the year, even Amika dropped a third down ball. I don't want to make this into something of a critique, because again, I'm going to go with what I went with last week. This team makes me so happy. Even in this loss, I was still, after the game, I was like, man, these guys are playing so hard for Todd Bowles. They're giving us everything they got, minus the special teams. They're giving us everything that they have. They're playing hurt. They're playing hard. They're doing their very best. It's really a next man up thing. We're 3-1. We're going into an extremely difficult game this week against Seattle. Seattle should be 4-0. They're 3-1, and they should have beat the 49ers week one if not for a Hail Mary. So if you think about it, this Seattle team is a real contender. These Sea Chickens, they are real contenders. This is the best team that we're going to play Minus the Eagles, obviously, as a Super Bowl contender. I have to give them that until they get knocked off. But this Seattle team is extremely tough. Between the Eagles and the Sea Chickens and then the 49ers, it's a really interesting three-game stretch where we could see ourselves 3-3 coming out of this stretch, which I think is interesting. And then we go into a really soft part of our schedule when we get healthy and we still win 11 games. I would still like to take at least two of the three games. So that would require us beating the Sea Chickens and the 49ers. We do have the 49ers at home. Most likely, the Seattle game is going to be really, really tough. Let's get back to the Eagles game. Let's go through our draft picks first. The really impressive drafts that Jason Light continues to put together. And then he has the counterpart on the Eagles side, which probably, if Jason Light's not the best drafter in NFL, obviously the Eagles front staff has been that. So you basically, it's an argument. And I can tell you that I'll never side for the Eagles, no matter what. It'll never happen. But I have to give props to them that they are drafting at an elite level. Our first-round draft pick, Emeka Ebuka, which is a guy that out of Ohio State, he's just setting all kinds of records, and he's playing extremely well. He you know, think about it. He's caught four touchdowns in four games. He leads all rookies with 282 receiving yards. He's been sensational. A couple of drops here and there. He can't be perfect, but he's been sensational. Benjamin Morrison went out of this game with a hamstring injury. He has looked okay. I think he's looked okay when he's healthy, and I'm excited to see him not have a lingering hamstring injury after his hip surgery, but so maybe he came back too fast. That was something Lita Kemper said maybe they brought Benjamin back too soon after a hamstring injury. Round three, Jacob Parrish out of Kansas State. Parrish has excelled in as a nickel corner, and he's allowed just 66 yards on 12 catches in coverage, and he has an interception on the season. Parrish is playing at an elite rookie level. And when I say that, it's very difficult for defensive backs. Actually, Tony Dungy said the most difficult position to come in as a rookie in the NFL is cornerback. And Jacob Parrish, not only has he excelled, he's been one of the best corners in the entire NFL, which is amazing to me. Elijah Roberts, our round five pick, he's been playing extremely well. I think he's playing way above expectations, if you ask me. This is a shout out to him. And Tez Johnson, our seventh round pick, had some electrifying times in this game where you're like, man, this guy's going to break out. And then you're like, they don't give him a lot of playing time. And then you realize, come to find out, that he's still learning the playbook, which is what I've heard. So we'll see. As the season goes on, I expect him to get better and the offense to open up. I think he's going to be a player in our offense and special teams. This Bucky Irving injury, is concerning, his foot being in a walking boot. But we have great depth at running back. So there you go. Going over those guys that we were talking about, I still think Yaya is going to have a super year. So Dennis at linebacker, he had eight tackles in the game, one tackle for loss in the game, but he's still playing pretty soft, in my opinion. I understand that he's an undersized linebacker. I really wish we had somebody that could bring the wood, when you watch the Baltimore Ravens play, they were playing the Kansas City Chiefs. These linebackers, like Nick Bolton on the Kansas City Chiefs, these guys just murder you when you get through the line of scrimmage. So we have a very good defensive line, great defensive line when healthy. And I think we're going to need some more physical players in that linebacker spot. As far as the Eagles are concerned, I don't really want to talk about the Eagles draft picks, but I will talk about, Cooper DeJean from last year is just a star. He was just a steal for them in the second round. And then Quentin Mitchell, who fell to them in the first round last year, has just been a Pro Bowl player. I mean, I like those two players, so it's hard for me, even though they wear the Eagles uniform, it's hard for me not to like them. It just is. So that's my Bucks talk for this week. We could break down the game more, but I really, if I do that, I feel like I'm criticizing, and we can talk about the officiating. Again, they did a very poor job on pass interference, which, Godwin had his shirt, pulled out. He was like 4 feet running with like a sail. It's just, some of these things are just ridiculous. There was definitely some questionable refereeing in this game, but you're going to get that. If you're watching the NFL and you're watching all the games, the entire league is experiencing very poor officiating. It's just been very poor. Even Troy Aikman came out and discussed it after the Denver Broncos game. And he was like, there's 18 penalties in this game. A lot of this stuff was ticky-tacky on one side, and they weren't calling it on the other. And it really stopped the flow of the game. I really would like – I know the officiating conversation could go on forever. We could do an entire podcast on officiating. I just want to feel when I'm done watching a football game that both sides were treated fairly. I really – that's just how I want it. If they're going to call everything, then call everything on both teams. If they're not going to call anything and you're letting them play physical, then let them play physical. Just don't be one-sided. I think that's what's the most frustrating part about watching football sometimes. Go Bucks this week against Seattle. I have no idea what offensive line is going to start for us. I think Rashard White will start at running back. Sean Tucker obviously will back him up. I think we have a couple of wide receivers. I think Sterling Shepard is still going to play a major part in this week's game. We'll see. The tight end conversation, you know what? I did have that in my notes. The tight end conversation has been something, a topic that I haven't personally been emailed about the tight end, but I've seen a constant chatter online about why we're not throwing to tight ends, why we're not featuring tight ends. And when you watch the games, there's a lot of mass protection going on where the tight ends are really blocking. And I would think that most people would know that without having to say it. When you have an offensive line that has sometimes three new starters, four playing out of position, two that shouldn't be on the field, I think that you're going to have to figure out ways to chip, block, and really max protect your quarterback. And even then, Baker Mayfield's getting hit. So, I mean, I think that's a simple conversation. I think there's really nothing more to say. You're not going to be able to open this offense up and really see what Grizzard has until we have a full offensive line and a full complement of receivers. You're not going to see this. Maybe the second half of this year, we're going to see something special, and I'm looking forward to it. Go Bucks. So our next game is what we were just talking about, the Sea Chickens. They beat the Cardinals 23-20. Really interesting game. Sam Donald has looked very, very good in the Sea Chickens uniform. Kenneth Walker's back to himself. And then Jackson Smith is a top-tier wide receiver. In this game, you know, their first-round draft pick, Greg Zabel out of North Dakota State, was the number one ranked guard in the draft, and he has played that way. He's been dominating for the Seahawks. Nick Emore and Eman Wari, which out of South Carolina, is getting some playing time. Elijah Rojo out of Miami as well at tight end is getting some playing time. We'll see him this week. He had his best game as a rookie. He took 36 snaps, 4 targets, and had 44 receiving yards. I think he's just getting involved in the Seahawks offense. So I think there's a lot to look forward to with Arroyo. He was Cam Ward's favorite target last year at Miami. So I think that's really interesting. Really, there's really no one else I want to talk about, you know, in this game. I don't think so. We can talk about maybe Torrey Horton out of Colorado State. He's getting involved a little. He was a guy that had an excellent week in week 3 where he was hurt, you know, during the draft. I think he fell a little in the draft around 5. I think he was definitely a second-round receiver, possibly a third-round receiver. He's better. As far as the Cardinals draft, you know, Walter Nolan's has been hurt all year. He's still on inactive list right now. Will Johnson, the cornerback out of Michigan, is getting some playing time for the Cardinals. But the Cardinals are an interesting team at 2-2. They're a little better than I expected them to be, and the Seahawks are definitely better. Sea Chickens are definitely better than what I expected them to be. Next game, Vikings and the Steelers. The Steelers won this game 24-21. Steelers are now 3-1. Interesting game. You know, Carson Wentz coming off his best game of his career. Came back in this game and was 30 of 46 for 350 and 2 TDs and still couldn't beat the Steelers, which was really interesting. Donovan Jackson, the Minnesota Vikings number one pick out of Ohio State, has been playing for them extremely well. I think that's an interesting guy. And Derek Harmon for the Steelers, who was their number one pick out of Oregon, is getting some playing time. He's been very inconsistent. Where he's had some dominance and then he just disappears, but just very common for a rookie. So I think, and I also think he's playing a little hurt. Caleb Johnson, the running back out of Iowa, who was their third round pick, trying to work him into the game. Last week he had 0 carries in the game, 0 minutes. And then, so I wonder what they're doing with him. Is, I don't know if it's a playbook issue. I don't know how they're going to work him into the game, but he's now getting some carries, but he's a really, really excellent player. I'm surprised that he's not getting more playing time in Pittsburgh. Jack Sawyer out of Ohio State, linebacker, again, is another one of those linebackers the Pittsburgh Steelers found that's just really, really good. I really like him a lot. So the Steelers have done a really good job at picking those off-the-ball linebackers, I have to say, which is really interesting. Commanders and Falcons, the Commanders, who I believe are overrated, still without Jaden Daniels, I get that. You can send me emails at bestinclass@billcurryford.com if you want to discuss Jaden Daniels. The Falcons beat 134-27. Penix had a good game. He completed 70% of his passes for 313 yards and two TDs. Drake London, last year's number one pick, 8 receiving, 110, 1 TD, which was really good. Bijan Robinson, who was called out by the head coach as being the best player in the NFL, had 17 carries for 75 yards and a touchdown. I don't think he's the best player in the NFL, but I think he's an interesting player for sure. The Falcons moved one game now back of the Bucks in the NFC South. Boo. As far as their draft picks, Jalen Walker, the linebacker edge rusher out of Georgia, who's the 15th overall pick, had 2 tackles, 1 tackle for loss in this game and hit the QB, which was interesting. And then James Pierce Jr., who they traded up into the second round pick, missed this game. And then Xavier Watts, the safety out of Notre Dame, which, if you break down my safety from Best in Class, was one of my absolute favorite players in this draft, is playing lights out for the Falcons. He had 6 tackles, 2 solo tackles, a QB hit, and a pass defense. He leads all rookies with 2 interceptions. He's a player. The Falcons did great getting Xavier Watts. He was well-coached at Notre Dame. He has the physical. He was a little undersized, and I think that's what dropped him from a first-round draft pick is his size. But, man, does he play well, and his speed. They said he wasn't, like, he's not a track star, right? But what does he do? He's still got 2 interceptions, and he's leading all rookies in that category for the first 4 games. And he's played exceptionally well for them. So good for them. A little shout-out to Felipe Franks, who was a quarterback for the Florida Gators. You know, they flipped him to defense, and he also plays some tight end, and he made the Atlanta Falcons. So he's trying to revitalize his career, which is super interesting. As far as the Washington team formerly known as the Redskins, Josh Connerly Jr., offensive tackle at Oregon, is playing for them. Trey Amos, the cornerback at Ole Miss, which Tony Dungy said was the most startable corner in the draft from day one, which is a really interesting. But I think the guy that everyone's talking about is Jacory Crosby-Merritt, the running back out of Arizona. Really, really high on him. He had 7 carries for 47 yards, 7 yards a carry in this game. Last week, he had almost 100 yards. So that's a running back you got in the 7th round that's really, really playing well for Washington. Trey Amos, as I talked about before, had 4 tackles in the game. And Jalen Lane, I'm going to give him a little shout-out. He's a 4th-round draft pick out of Virginia Tech. He had 2 catches for 18 yards, so they're working him into the offense, which is really good. Saints and Bills. Saints are now 0-4. They deserve it. They're a terrible team, terrible city, terrible people. Hope they never win a game, ever. Like, never win another game. Bills beat them 31-19. Bills are now 4-0, which is really interesting. Bills' Maxwell Harrison, which was the fastest corner out of Kentucky for the Bills, is in rotation, which is interesting. Landon Jackson, a guy we talked about at defensive end at Arkansas, which was their 3rd-round draft pick, is an interesting player as well. But Jackson Halls, the 5th-round tight end out of Georgia Tech, we've talked about him now in consecutive weeks. He is a favorite, guys, of Josh Allen, and he is playing like this lunch pail, blue collar, I'm going to hit you in the face, catch the ball. He fits everything that these Bills mafia loves. He fits it all. His jerseys are selling. I'm not saying he's going to be like a fantasy star, but I don't do this podcast for fantasy. I'm telling you, he is an integral part now of the Bills offense, and he's a favorite of Josh Allen. Moving on to the Browns and Lions. Lions blew the Browns out 34-10. Jahmyr Gibbs out of Alabama, 15 carries, 91 yards, and a TD. Amon St. Brown out of USC, 7 catches for 70 yards. Some second and third year players that are still performing at a very high level. As far as the Cleveland Browns draft picks, Quinton Judkins, the Ohio State 5-star recruit, running back, had 21 carries, 82 yards, and a touchdown. He's a breakout rookie. Right now, I'm going to talk about another running back rookie soon that's had a better breakout, but Judkins is really, really playing well, and he's going to get a lot of carries for the Browns. Harold Fannin Jr., Fannin came from a small school, He's more of a wide receiver than he is a tight end, but he can block. They're working him into the offense, which is really interesting to me. And then Jenkins had four catches for 33 yards, so they're also using him in the passing game. And Harold Fannin had two catches for 24 yards, so they're rushing him and using him as a receiver. So some really interesting guys for the Browns. I'm not even talking about Shador Sanders. It appears that maybe Dillon Gabriel out of Oregon, their third-round draft pick, is possibly going to get the start this week. We'll see how that goes, where they bench Joe Flacco, and then they move Joe Flacco to the backup, and maybe Shador Sanders is still in the same third spot. I just think that's going to blow up on them. I really do. I think it's a kind of a crazy thing. You know what? There is somebody else I want to talk about. This Carson Schlesinger from the Browns. Their second-round draft pick out of UCLA. He leads all rookies with 32 tackles. Again, he fits that Browns dog pound mentality. He doesn't do a lot of stuff spectacularly. He's just a tough human being that just fits right into the Browns. So that's a shout out to Carson, who leads all rookies with 32 tackles. Panthers, Patriots. Panthers got blown out, of course. Drake May, last year's first round draft pick of the Patriots, 14 of 17, 203 yards, two TDs. Really didn't have to do much. As far as the Panthers draft picks, T-Mac or Tetereroa McMillan is tied with Amika Abuka from the Bucks. He has 18 receptions for 278 yards for the Panthers. Trayvon Henderson, the second-round draft pick at Ohio State, Jenkins, partner in crime by the New England Patriots, had 7 carries for 32 yards and a touchdown. Again, still not even splitting carries yet. He's basically getting a third of the carries. I'm interested to see how that grows on the year. Chargers and Giants, this was the Jackson Dart game. Giants beat the Chargers, if you can believe this, 21-18. The Giants, who have shown basically nothing, came and probably beat one of the best teams in the NFL. Speaking of the Chargers, Omarion Hampton, the running back out of North Carolina, the one that I was going to say is probably the breakout running back. He has been sensationally at 12 carries for 128 yards and a TD against a very good Giants defense. Trey Harris, they drafted in the second round at wide receiver, is still getting worked into the offense. The Giants now, with Jackson Dart, basically, first half, they let him run. Second half, they let him throw the ball. He had a touchdown running and a touchdown throwing. If he caught his own ball, that would be spectacular, and I probably would have started with that on the podcast. Abdul Carter, a lot of people said he could have been the number one overall pick, which is interesting to me over, like, Cam Ward. He had one tackle in the game, and everybody's going to go, well, he only had one tackle. But you know what he did have? He had 5 QB pressures in the game. 5. Which means he's learning the pass rush, which is really difficult to do as a rookie. But if you're getting counted for an NFL hurry, 5 in a game, you're close to actually becoming dominant. He's close. He could have gotten a sack in this game, possibly 2 sacks in this game, and we'll see. And Jackson Dart started 13 of 20, and threw for 111 yards and a TD, and then ran for 54 yards and another TD. My boy Cam Scataboo, I talked about him at length during my running back breakdown. He's out of Arizona State. He is a beast. He had 25 carries for 80 yards in this game. He also caught 2 for 11. Now remember, the offensive line for the Giants is one of the worst in the NFL. This guy is getting hit behind the line and not going down. He just fights and fights and fights. You just have no shot of getting him down with the first. He's different than Bucky is, where Bucky does this jump cut, which is amazing, which now you see Rashard White doing. Everybody wants to know why Rashard White is running better this year. He's lighter, quicker on his feet. And by the way, Rashard White has a jump cut. So watch Rashard. He doesn't just run north and south. He'll hop to the left or to the right, make that first guy miss, and then run up the field. He got that from Bucky. The best thing that could have happened to him was having Bucky as a teammate, because it's made him a much better running back, which he has not played in his defense much in his entire career. He was a wide receiver. So he is playing a new position for the last 3 years, going on 4 years. He hasn't played it since he was a kid, but he's learning, which, you know, Rashard White needs to get the ball more. I don't think anybody questions that. He needs to get it in pass. He needs to really. Bucky doesn't need to be carrying the ball 25 times with a bad foot. Texans and Titans. Texans blew them out 26-0. Not much to talk about here other than Woody Marks out of USC. 17 carries, 69 yards and a TD. Kind of a breakout performance the last 2 weeks for Woody Marks. Very interesting player. Didn't come with much fanfare. He's a fourth-round pick, but he's played extremely well. Cam Ward, the number one overall pick, really struggled in this game. The Texans had a really, really good pass rush. I think the Texans were feeling like their season was on the line because they were 0-3. Now they're 1-3, so we'll see how it goes. Colts and Rams. The Rams won 27-20. This was an amazing game to watch. The Colts have, besides Amika, I think the second best offensive rookie, not counting the running backs because it's too easy. Tyler Warren is now the top tight end in the league. He had 5 receptions for 70 yards right now as a rookie. This guy out of Penn State is a monster. He's a fantastic weapon for the Colts. He leads all tight ends with 263 yards, which is amazing. If you haven't seen him play, you got to see him play. He catches the ball, turns up the field like old school, and just runs you over. It's really, really fun to watch. The Rams are now 3-1. The Colts are now 3-1. Adonai Mitchell out of Texas, last year's pick of the Colts, had a terrible play where he celebrated early and dropped the ball before he crossed the goal line, and it ended up costing the Colts the game. So I hope mentally he can bounce back from that because he had 3 catches for 96 yards. Should have had a touchdown. So we'll see. Jaguars, 49ers. The Jags won 26-21. It was a big win for the Jaguars. Travis Hunter, who's, you know, obviously a big fanfare, met him at the combine. Really great kid. Had 3 receptions for 42 yards in this game. Slowly working more into the offense. He's also getting about 36 snaps on defense. I mean, for the where they picked him, he hasn't performed, I don't believe, at a level worthy of his draft status yet. So I'm interested to see if he can, what they're going to do with him, if they're going to go, okay, let's work on this experiment in the offseason, and let's get him focusing completely on offense, and let's make him an offensive weapon for right now. But we'll see how that goes. Ravens and the Chiefs. Chiefs won 37-20 over the Ravens. Lamar Jackson was hurt in this game. He's out 3 weeks. There's really nobody I want to talk about in these games. But it was interesting to see the Ravens 1-3 just get out-physicaled by the Chiefs, who are not known to be a very physical team. Interesting. I'm not saying that's the way it's going to be all season, but it's just interesting to this point. Bears and the Raiders. Bears pulled out the victory 25-24 over the Raiders. Caleb Williams, last year's number one pick, 22 of 37, 212 yards and a TD in this game. Right now, Caleb Williams is ranked the 6th best statistical quarterback in the NFL this year. So he's a top 10 right now through the first 4 games. It's a big difference than where he was through the first 4 games last season. Again, coaching does matter, guys. It matters. Colston Loveland, the tight end that was drafted by the Bears, is showing a lot of promise. He was drafted extremely high. I expected more out of him, kind of like because he was drafted over Tyler Warren, who is the number one receiving tight end in the NFL right now. Some of that could be also working into the offense. As we know, Ben Johnson, the head coach of the Bears, is a tight end first guy. So I would assume that this is going to change at some point, and he's still going to start getting a high volume of throws. Genty, who was the number one running back selected at 21 carries for 138 yards and a touchdown, was really a breakout game for him. It's 6.6 yards a carry. Congratulations to him. Brock Bowers, last year's stud tight end, who, by the way, broke every NFL record in NFL 113-year history for tight ends, had 5 receptions for 46 yards, still playing hurt. Genty added a couple of catches for 17 yards. Interesting game. Packers-Cowboys ended up going late. I actually watched this game all the way to the overtime and just fell asleep because it was late. Then I had to watch it the next morning. They ended in 40-40. I hate that for both teams. It was a fun game to watch. Matthew Golden, the first pick of the Packers at receiver out of Texas, 5 catches, 58 yards in this game. Really the only rookie I wanted to talk about. I don't want to talk about anybody on the offensive line for the Cowboys right now. But interesting game if you guys want to go back and watch the all 30 on that. That might be interesting because the way there's no spacing in between plays and there's no commercials, and you just watch 40, you watch 80 points get scored. It's a kind of fun. Jets and Dolphins. This was a really tough game to watch. The Dolphins won 27-21. I got through it. I did. Amand Mimbu, the offensive tackle of the Jets, has been a bright spot. He's been one of the best rookie blockers. So the Jets got at least one position right on the offensive line. Justin Fields played lights out. He was 20 of 27 for 226 yards and a TD. Rushed for 100 yards as well and a TD. I don't know what else Justin Fields can do. The play calling is really, really bad for the Jets. On 3rd-and-7 with the game on the line, they ran the ball up the middle. They do that a lot. They missed field goals. They fumbled the ball on the one-yard line. The running back, it appears that their running back is lost for the season. I'm dumbfounded. You have Justin Fields just playing lights out, and you keep taking the ball out of his hands like he hasn't earned the trust. The Jets are now 0-4. And again, a lot of it, for me, has to do with, again, terrible coaching, terrible decisions. Let Justin Fields and Garrett Wilson do exactly what they did at Ohio State. Just launch the ball down the field, and when that's not there, let Justin run the ball. You will start winning games, I assure you. Bengals, Broncos, this is the game Troy Aikman was talking about. It was a terrible game to watch. 28-3, Broncos won this game. Bo Nix, 29-42, 326, and two TDs, last year's first-round draft pick. Bo Nix is playing terrific. 18 penalties in the game. Troy Aikman said it was a tough game for him even to watch and to even work at, you know, because he was like, the momentum keeps breaking, and you're having to ad-lib, and the referees just really took over this game, which was really frustrating for everybody. But the Denver Broncos pulled it out again. So that concludes week four of the NFL season for Best in Class. So I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast, The Best 30 Minutes in Football. Please visit us at BillCurry4.com. See all of our amazing specials. Please schedule your mobile or pick up and delivery visit for our service, which is still free as of right now, which is really exciting. And then we have the Ford Pro Elite opening in 3 months to service all of the fleet and commercials in Tampa. Very exciting stuff. We have the Seahawks coming up. Go Bucks.